Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 794. Is it 94? We're good, right?
Yeah, 94. 794.
Wow. I'm telling you, man, it's a lot of numbers, man. After a while, you could get lost. This is Danny speaking, and also joining me for this episode, we have Pete in the house, man. What's up, Pete?
Gang, gang. What up?
What up, man? What up? How's it been since the release of Blackout, which I know we're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun. It's a welcome departure from all the rest of the other battle royale offerings that have been out. But you know, obviously, yeah. I play a lot of PUBG. I've dabbled in a couple of the other ones. But it's surprising though, and I don't know if we just want to jump right into that or if you want to go.
No, not yet.
But it's.
I have a couple things to talk about.
It's a welcome respite from the normal PUBGs and the battle royales that I normally play, and I'm glad to see certain people, yourself, venturing into the world of battle royale. Still waiting for Paris, who's not here to defend himself, to get away from the space magics and play like he said he was going to. But I mean, there's still a couple more days, and then it's the PC beta, so we'll.
Pete, you make it seem like I don't play battle royale games. I play Fortnite all the time, and I play PUBG here and there, you know. But actually, I play the most recent update, the official retail version of PUBG. I've been playing that with my brother, but I'm liking this a lot, man. We're gonna talk about Blackout Beta in a few minutes and stuff. But I have a couple of things to say before we start. So first thing first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to share with your friends and let other people know about our podcast. You can also find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so this episode we're going to talk about Blackout, of course. Also, Pete recorded an interview with Ubisoft about Starlink. We're going to also play that later on this episode of GTR. And I have a little surprise for our listeners. So I have 19 different games to give away for the Xbox One. Sorry, PlayStation, Nintendo folks, and PC. Sorry. But I have 19 games. These games are not super new. It's not super old. But it's free games. So every week on the podcast, not on Twitch, on the podcast, it could be either on the Monday episode, on the Thursday episode, every week I'm going to give away a free game. I'm going to mention the code during the podcast, and it's up to you. If you want to put it, the code, if you want to redeem the code on the app, the Xbox app, or go to Xbox.com, or even your console, whatever is easy for you. But I'm definitely going to give away every week for 19 weeks a free game. So for this episode, because, you know, celebration of Forsaken and everything, I'm going to give away a free copy of Destiny 2. So make sure to tune in and get ready for a brand new game for free. For you, the listener. Not on Twitch, not on Discord, but the podcast. Just want to say that very quick. 19 games, Pete. What you think? Every week one. Are you even there, Pete? You mute?
I'm totally muted, and I ruined that joke. I was going to say, we should be giving away 43 codes to really make it official.
43.
But 19 is still a dope number. It's, you know, hey,
yeah.
It's the, like, way to give back to the community. So,
yeah, I mean, there's games because it's going to be for, like, the family, you know, for listeners that have kids. You can also download the games and stuff. And there's some, you know, for the adults, for the mature audience too. So every week is a different game. So just stay tuned. So for this episode, a free copy of Destiny 2. Hey, if you want to play Forsaken, this is an opportunity for you to just get the game and then buy Forsaken later. It's up to you. All right. So, Pete, let's talk about Blackout. The Blackout beta just got released on Monday, actually, for the PlayStation 4. It's coming out for the PC and Xbox One this Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The beta is going to end on Monday of next week. But the thing that I really like about this beta is that Treyarch has been updating the game so far for the past 3 days. They've been doing some work, you know, behind the scenes. And at first, the issue that I had with the game was trying to pick up like a weapon or an item from the floor. It was take like a little bit longer before. Now, because of the most recent update, is super, super quick. And originally, in the beta, it started with 80 players. And with this new update, it's now 88. What I heard from different interviews is from the developers of Treyarch, their goal is to have it 115 players. Now, it's not 100% sure if they can make that happen, but it's possible. It's possible. Right now, they're just testing the waters. And hopefully for the retail version, or maybe even later, we might have an official 115 players playing this game, man. Multiplayer wise for Blackout. So I think that's awesome, man. You know, and I'm really enjoying this game, man. I like the map, like the design. There's a couple things that I wish they could fix because I play more of Fortnite, right? So originally, when you're about to jump from the bus, I'm talking about like Fortnite or helicopter, plane, whatever, you jump out and you'll mark in the map where you would like to go, right? So the original game, before they updated this a couple months ago, you have to look from the compass on top and you just follow the color of your character or of your team and you go and stuff, right? You go to that area and you land. Now, with the update from Fortnite, the thing that I like is I could mark it, or one of my teammates could mark it from far away, and I could still see it from far without even looking from the compass. You know, like I see this bright color showing where my teammate's going to land. With Blackout, yeah, I look on top. If one of my teammates mark, let's say we're going to land at the train station, right? I have to look at the compass to, you know, to find where they're going to land. But it will be cool if they could have it in a way that it's a lot easier instead of me trying to find from the compass, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully we could see that. If not, it's fine. It's just, I'm just trying to be picky. I just got used to it with Fortnite. That's all. No, but overall, I like it. First person is perfect for this game. Super fast paced. I like that this is, map wise, is it bigger than PUBG or smaller? I think it's smaller.
Smaller.
Than PUBG.
It's smaller than PUBG. It's 5x5. It's bigger. It's a little bit larger than the Fortnite map. Yeah. And it's comparable, I guess you could say. It's a little bit larger because Sanok is 4x4. So it's bigger than Sanok. It's bigger than Fortnite's island, but smaller than the regular Miramar and Erangel maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, I think in the beta, there was no way for you to like level up. I think now I just started playing today and I noticed my character was in level two. I was like, okay, I don't know how that happened. But I wish that we could see like the stats, how I'm doing stats wise and everything, how much I need to like go to the next level and so on. I know this is a beta, it's super early. But so far, dude, I'm loving this beta, man. Loving it. I've been playing it nonstop. I even showed it to my brother. My brother He's a huge Halo guy. He plays PUBG on Xbox. He hasn't played Call of Duty in a very long time. He played the beta for the multiplayer for Black Ops 4. And I told him, yo, get ready, man. Don't delete the beta because they're also going to have Blackout. And he was like, what is Blackout? And I told him, oh, he's like, oh, so it's a battle royale. I was like, yep. So he started playing it. He came here to my house and he started playing it. He hasn't purchased a Call of Duty game since maybe Black Ops 2. And he said to me, he's like, well, this is the reason why I'm going to buy Black Ops. Because of this. This is a whole game changer for the Call of Duty series. And I think it's going to make a lot of people that are fans of Call of Duty, or maybe they stopped playing it for a long time, they're going to come back and start playing it again because of this. Your thoughts, Pete?
I think it's cool that it's bringing him back, because it's not the only person that it's brought back. It's brought back a lot of people that have fallen out of favor with Call of Duty, myself included. It's got me, mm-hmm. It's got me interested back into the franchise. And I think that's what the franchise, for me personally, needed, right? The direction that they had been going with three different developers all under the same title branch, it kind of franchise fatigue, right? That's exactly the same mm-hmm. thing that we had complained about with other titles, you know, such as Assassin's Creed, which we'll talk about later on in the show.
Yeah.
Call of Duty is one of those that needed that refresher, but also something new. And because I think people were just getting tired of it. Granted, it's still going to sell like gangbusters on holidays. It's still going to do that. So no matter what, it's still going to make the dollars and cents for Activision. Going back to your light beacons concept.
Yes.
I think that's a little too flashy and too, like, I get what you're saying. You want to kind of bring your best memories or what you're familiar or comfortable with into Blackout. But I don't think that works simply because you already have light beacons up that signify where the zombies are. And I think that would
come. No. This is more for based on your color. And this is more, in my opinion, just to land, not for like to go to like a different area. I'm talking about more for landing purposes. It's a lot quicker, faster, and then once you close to that light beacon, then it will go away. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that to stay there the whole time.
Well,
it's only for you and your teammate. Like that's how it is with
Fortnite. No, I get it. I get what you're saying.
Just for the landing purposes.
If you already know where you're landing, if you like put the beacon on, let's say Estates, because that's where I was playing earlier with Mandy and Arctic, you already know where you're going to be landing. Do you really need multicolored beacons all over the place? I get what you're saying, though. I'm not trying to shoot it down. I get what you're saying, but I don't know. I think there's so many things going on. You don't want to add more things to the overlay. Hey, as a beta, it's playing super smooth. There's only been a few hiccups that I've been seeing.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten concrete evidence as to whether this is actually running 60 frames per second, but it's running butter smooth as every other Call of Duty game. The jump from 80 to 88, rock solid. You're not the only person I've heard mention the plus 100. I heard this from several people on several different streams. Dr. Disrespects, Vis from Team Solo Mid, and one other stream where people were talking upwards of 120.
Whoa.
I mean, you said 115.
I heard 115, you said 120, that's good.
But think about it, 115, how do you divide that into squads? You know what
that's
I mean?
True.
The math just doesn't work. 120 now, is a little bit easier to do.
Now, let me ask you this. 120 for you, you think that's good for this map, 120 players?
I mean, there's still moments where you go running in, even if you have 100 people coming down. Most of the people are going to go to the heavy populated areas, to the high volume loot spawns, because they want to grab stuff and get going immediately into a game. The issue... Yeah. And that's why I don't think there's an issue if they want to ramp it to 220, because there's still so much space on the map that gets left unused and untouched. Mm-hmm. There's other things in the game that I would like to see modified, but that's more because it's about a personal flavor. I don't think there would be a problem with 120. If anything, give me 150. Give me more, simply because it gives me a closer resemblance to something like Sanak on on PUBG. You get a higher concentration of players, which means you get onto the ground and you're immediately in the action. You're not going and you don't get the luxury of a 3 minute loot, you know, a 3 minute loot phase before finally venturing out into the wilderness to try to find, you know, an encounter or an enemy or go on to the next circle. That's why I don't mind having more. Now, if you're going to add more people, then you then have to multiply and add onto the loot table. You can't just add 120 people and have the same amount of loot spawn for 80 people or 88 people. You got to make it consummate so that as soon as you land, you're able to grab weapon. That's why Sanaka is a more popular map right now on PUBG. I was playing earlier today and I was playing on Erangel and I got to part of the military base and it was like, okay, I came out with a crowbar and a double barrel shotgun. Mm. Not really what you want to have in your hands when you're going into the military base. PUBG has been notorious for modifying the loot tables, especially in higher in levels such as melee or the school, so that people stop going there in order to force people to go into other parts of the map. So if you're going to add more people, you have to increase the loot table to allow more people to have more access to more weapons. I don't think there's been a lot of issue with the amount of weapons in there. You can basically go into any building and get what you need, regardless of whether it's a pistol. I love the fact that you pick up the gun and you immediately load in. You don't have to get it. You don't have to find ammo. You don't have to jack it in. There's never an instance where you pick up a gun and there's no ammo, except if it's earlier today where I came in and I stole the gun out of Arctic's view. He grabbed the ammo, I grabbed the gun. There's a few things, and I know it's still a beta, so there's still things that are going to be tweaked. I know that things are going to be tweaked over time, and maybe this is more of a frustration for me, and it's why I always played the hardcore mode, but the time to kill or TTK is a concern for me. I don't like the fact that, yes, I understand that if they've got armor, you can detect and know that the armor's been knocked off and you can go back to shooting flesh at that point. But it kind of bothers me that I have to go a clip, sometimes two, maybe even three, to get the kill.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been saying this, that armor level 3, way too powerful. Too powerful. So they need to balance it out in a way that it's well balanced. It's not, you know, a situation where, like you said, Pete, look how many rounds just for me to kill this player, man.
Yeah. So,
you know, I agree with
that. So I'd like to see them adjust the TTK to soften it up, to allow people to get, you know, a little bit more action in there, get kills, to be able to get kills, but not something that is too easy or too quick. But finding a right balance, and that's what the beta is all about, right? Now is the time that they have to sit there, throw it out to the masses, get the feedback, adjust as they go. And I mean, some people might even say the res might be too quick too. I don't mind it, seeing as I usually get downed because I'm running face first into the action as the meat shield anyways. But I don't. I think the res might get adjusted. I know if you try to compare it to, like, let's say PUBG, where I think it's a 5 or 6 second res. Where actually 10 second res, I'm sorry. Where here it's a 2 seconds. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you're as close to death or whatever, it's still a 2 second res. I like the way they threw the perks out there. I like how they're randomly thrown, you know, they're basically just loot out under the game. You find it, you can throw it on there. You're not limited to just what you started with your character as soon as you came into the game. So I like the way they did that. I'm glad that my fear of kill streaks being in the game isn't the thing, right? I know there's been chatter on Reddit and on Twitch and stuff like that of people wanting kill streaks in the game because it increases, you know, basically it increases the violence in the game, for want of a better term. But I think there's enough action in the game that you don't need to push the envelope by adding kill streaks into a battle royale.
I think they can, for like a special playlist, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if there's different playlists, hey, let the player choose and play whatever they want. You know, like, I know today they just added a new one today. What's the name of it? Do you know? I can't remember the playlist. It just launched today for Blackout. But this one,
Fast Collapse.
Not Fast Collapse. But let me tell you, the game is super fast. super fast. It's very quick. So that's cool that they added it for the beta. So at least people could see, okay, there's going to be a lot of content coming up for the game. You know, it's not only about like this is it for the retail and we're done. Nah.
The cool thing about it,
put some playlists. Keep it busy, man.
Well, the cool thing about it is there's still two more events that they're planning for the beta alone.
Ooh,
yeah, they just haven't mentioned what the other two are going to be, and those will probably be dropped. You'll see them more than likely, I'd probably say Friday, and maybe Sunday going to Monday, or maybe you drop it Friday and Saturday, or just drop
Saturday. Yeah,
I say maybe drop it Friday for the rest of the early access people, so that everybody on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4 get to play it for one day, and then drop last one on Saturday, mm-hmm. so it's open to everybody.
I gotta mention this though. This is the part where we were having this discussion, like, oh man, what's going to happen with the zombies? You know, remember this, Pete? We were talking about that a couple of days ago.
Which one?
We were like, oh, what's going to happen about the zombies? What's going to happen? Yeah. So here this thing. So I land to this area and I looked at the house. I'm like, man, this house looks familiar. Cause I know every design is from past levels, mm-hmm. the game, right? So I'm looking at this house. I'm like, man, it looks super familiar. So I go in there and I hear like a weird sound. I wasn't sure if maybe it was somebody running around, right? Yo, and a zombie pops up out of nowhere. Yo, it surprised the crap out of me because I didn't know. This is like my first time playing Blackout and everything. And I'm like, all right, this is dope. I like this, man. There's going to be certain areas where there's going to be zombies. But there's also other areas where you could also open like a special chest, and these chests there's gonna be some powerful weapons, better armor, everything, right? But it's a challenge for you, man. Like if you're doing it solo, you have to be killing a lot of zombies, and once everything is clear, then you have a little bit of time to pick up a weapon and then bounce because more zombies are going to come after, in a few minutes and stuff after that. So that was pretty dope. I would love to see maybe have a playlist that there's zombies everywhere, not just certain spots. But I think it will make the game even more challenging if they could do something like that. I don't know if it's possible, but I think it will be dope.
Well, you have to worry at that point, how much can the engine handle with having to support and manage all of those zombies as well as PvP players out in the world? Because it's got to track all of that. And you got to make sure that by introducing all of these characters and all these zombies, you don't jeopardize or impact the performance of the game. I think it's a cool idea to throw it out there.
No.
Maybe make it
smaller, right? Smaller players, like not 120 or whatever. Just make it maybe less than 50.
I think it'd be really cool if you did that with maybe not even a public event. Maybe do it for similar to kind of how PUBG does it for partners. They did it for partners early on. Now it's a custom playlist that you can do. Basically, anybody can do it, which is a zombie map where you go in. And this is something that was only available for PUBG partners earlier. Now, you know, you and I can jump in on PC, or I don't know if it's available for Xbox, but I know on PC I can jump in, do the zombie playlist, and have people join in. And it could be, you know, me and whomever, you know, three, four, five other people on a team. And it's basically, you know, Battle Royale zombies, where it's just the four of us. And everybody else are zombies. And those zombies are actually people.
That's dope.
The zombies are actually players. So they come in. They can't pick up weapons. They can pick up gear because they're just carrying it. They can't really use it. But you can kill them and maybe loot them. And maybe they're bringing you weapons or whatever. You know, but who knows? But the opportunity is cool. I think there's things that they could do. I know this is something that I had mentioned on a previous show. And I want to say it was Sideways in our community. Goes by Baydre in our Discord server. He was challenging me because he was like, what is different? What is it so far that COD has done that has brought, that has made you excited for this? As opposed to, you know, it's basically Call of Duty with the Battle Royale. I like the introduction of vehicles. I like the introduction that, you know, the circle isn't, while it does damage you, you can actually catch up to it. It's basically, I was able to run I think when I streamed it on Monday, I was able to run from actually where I ran over Arctic all the way down to Rivertown. And I was able to get, you know, almost halfway down, you know, halfway across the island or across the island, medding on the run, you know, being able to keep myself alive. Thankfully, I didn't have to encounter anybody until the end there. But I like the way that they're allowing the player to actually play, and they're not in a frantic scramble to loot, or they're in a frantic scramble to heal. You can successfully outrun or at least catch up to the circle, and it gives you enough time to get to the next to the next circle. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the game is butter smooth. The desync issues that are prevalent in PUBG are not there, at least for now. This is still the beta, so who knows what's going to happen come launch when you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of players, millions of players playing on those servers. Yeah. We've seen it before, though. Activision has their bleep straight when it comes down to server access from a PC perspective. I can't wait to see what the action is going to be like using Battle.net, because it's always provided a rock solid experience for everything else. I mean, they can support League of Legends. They can support everything else. They're just adding one more notch to the belt.
Pete, we got to give it to Treyarch, man. This is their first time doing something like this for this amount of players. You know, I know DICE has been doing it, something like this similar for like other, not Battle Royale, but like for other multiplayer modes and stuff in the past. And they always been doing it all for years with 64 players, I believe, right? So this is the first time that we've ever seen this for a Call of Duty game. So I think it's top notch, man. I think PUBG's in trouble, in my opinion. I know the hardcore fans are going to stay there for good, right? But I'm talking about more of like the people that play Call of Duty here, PUBG there, and, you know, Fortnite there. They're not really hardcore. But I think because of this, they probably, especially for the console, because PUBG Xbox is not like the PC, like super fast. I think that a lot of people are just going to stop playing PUBG and they're going to go now and play Call of Duty because of Blackout, in my opinion. You know, not 100%, but Pete, I'm not talking about you or, you know, the hardcore fans. I'm talking about the casual PUBG players. A lot of them are probably going to leave and play Blackout, man.
I wasn't disagreeing with you in that there's going to be a drop off. There's going to be a drop off on all BR titles. You're going to see the drop off on Fortnite. You're going to see the drop off on PUBG. The only difference that I would say is you're going to see a bigger drop off on console than you will on PC.
Of PUBG.
You'll see a bigger drop off on PUBG on console than you will on PC. PC, I think now, there's still a lot of people playing on PC and a lot of people who have a lot of time and energy and whatnot invested in PUBG. I'm not saying there's not going to be a drop off. There is going to be a drop off on every platform. I just think the drop off is going to be more significant on the console side.
Well, I agree. I do agree. Would you consider this as a PUBG killer? I think PUBG's in trouble.
The killer is already out there. The killer's already, it's known as Fortnite.
But it's a different, I don't know what, I know people are going to compare a lot because of the whole Battle Royale and everything, but it's different.
It's a different Battle Royale. You can't think of them as totally disparate game types. Fortnite is Battle Royale, same as PUBG, same as The Dead, aka Islands of Nine. With your 23 players online, you got more partners than players at play. I still think you're going to see a significant drop off. Like I said, you're going to see the drop off on console more so than on PC. I think the thing that is still and continues to plague PUBG, especially on the PC side, is the desync issue. The lag and the performance stuff has improved. They've added a few new wrinkles and twists. You know, they brought in the mutant, you know, two-shot burst AK-47. I played it earlier today. It's actually a really fun gun to shoot. But until they solve for that desync issue, it's going to be a problem. And if I'm not mistaken, I think there might still be that issue on the console version on Xbox One. So until that happens, until that gets corrected, it's going to continue to get that negative stigma. Mm-hmm. Considering that Treyarch was able to drop this beta without the lag and desync issues that are prevalent on other BR titles, and it's not to say that Fortnite is without its issues. It has its issues as well.
Always see updates, though.
But
we
hear more about the issues because people are barking more because of PUBG. Because they're right now. PUBG is scrambling for second, and Brendan Green, you know he's pooping bricks right now. he's pooping bricks right now because you have to be concerned. When a franchise like Call of Duty comes out and essentially drops its cards on the tables and you're seeing aces and kings in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're going all in. And at this point, they're showing their cards and they're like, this is what we got. Let's see what you got.
Yep.
You know?
They're just going like this, drop the mic and like, what's up?
I love PUBG. I love PUBG from a BR fan perspective. There's no mistaking that. You know that they're pooping bricks right now with all of the attention going to them to go into Call of Duty. So hopefully this is a catalyst and it gives PUBG. I'm not going to say that they're oblivious to the complaints. They've heard the complaints. Hell, they have a fix.pubg. Whatever it is, but they know the issues. I think the only way they're going to successfully fix or solve for all of the issues that they're going or they're experiencing is a recode of the game from the ground up. And I don't know if they can do that. I don't know if they can successfully do that in the short amount of time it's going to take for Call of Duty to pop out and go live. We still haven't seen what Battlefields is going to be all about. Now,
I'm a little worried.
All that concerned with Battlefield 5, but that's me. I've never been a huge Battlefield fan in and of itself. I was turned off by the beta. I didn't enjoy it. It's already been uninstalled and deleted off my machine. I don't want to play it.
Wow.
I actually deleted Wednesday.
Save it for Sunday's episode, because we have to go to the next topic, Pete, but. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine. And I really don't have anything else much to say about that. But I don't think it's going to be as prolific or it's going to be as important as what Call of Duty is doing right now.
So we're going to continue here, Gamertag Radio, episode 794. But before we continue with a different conversation and everything, I just want to send positive vibes to everybody in the Carolinas with this hurricane. Florence is about to hit, I think, later on today. Just want to say, be really careful, be safe, be there for your family and friends, neighbor. We need everybody to be safe, man, because hurricanes, no joke. We've been through this many times here in Miami, and it's no joke. Actually, a year ago, there was a hurricane over here, and it was a Category 4, and then it went down to 3 by the time it hit us, but it was very, very scary. So just want to say, our thoughts are with everyone over there. Just be safe. That's all I really want to say, because that's it's super important to me. I want people to be safe, man, because like I said, hurricanes is no joke. But I have an announcement here to make. I'm going to be the social media ambassador for this year's Hispanicize LA that's taking place this October 11th through the 13th. If you would like to attend this event, I have a 15% discount code that I think you should take advantage of this. And at the same time, we'll hang out over there and everything. It's a really, really cool event. So go to HispanicizeEvent.com and put this code Danny PSA. That's Danny PSA. And you will get 15% off, man. That's amazing, man. So. But if there's people out there that don't know about Hispanicize, it's now been going on now for 9 years, and it's the first and largest annual event for Latinx trendsetters, influencers, digital content creation, journalism, marketing, entertainment, tech, and much, much more. You don't want to miss this. This is a really cool event. They're going to have panels. They're going to have a whole bunch of cool events happening during the event from October 11th through the 13th. And yes, I'm going to be there posting stuff through social media. Hopefully I'll record something for the podcast over there too. So once again, go to HispanicizedEvent.com to get your 15% off discount. Just use this code DannyPSA. All right. So it's about that time, y'all. 19 weeks. Every week, we're going to give away a free game. Yes, 19 free games for only Gamertag Radio listeners. You're not going to find us on Twitch, social media, Discord. No, this is only for the podcast. Now, don't know if this code works international. Take advantage. Try to see. But this is the code for a brand new, totally free Destiny 2 game for the Xbox One. Here's the code. KPK. 7R3R3G4 9779C HGDG647WJZ. Congratulations. This is a brand new Destiny 2 game for the Xbox One. And if you redeem this code, please do us a favor and hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Let us know you got this free game, all right? Just want to give a shout to Microsoft for giving us all these games for the listeners, for the GTR listeners, man. So stay tuned. Next week, we have another game. And I think I'm going to give away a brand new Assassin's Creed Origins next week. So stay tuned. It could be on a Monday. It could be on a Thursday. So your mission is to find the code on the podcast and redeem it as soon as possible before somebody else around the world we'll redeem it first. All right. So congratulations if you got this free game, and good luck until next time. Let's continue with the show. All right. So we're going to play this interview that was recorded a while back. And this is about Starlink. And P had a great conversation with, who was it? Was it the game director?
Matthew Rose. I believe it was the executive producer for Starlink Battle of Atlas. It was a great conversation. And not because we were there. I was talking to the guy, but it was interesting to start off the to basically hear how they came about with the game. You know, like I know we had spoken to somebody from one of the developers at E3 about it, but I wanted to go more into depth about where did the impetus for creating a game like this? Because once you play the game, it's completely different from anything I've really played, and it's a total departure from games that I normally play. And I think you played it at E3 as well, Danny.
No, I didn't. I'm dying to play it, but I was just seeing people playing it right over there, and you were there too. It looks dope, man.
The really fact that you can swap out your pilot, your ship, your wings, mm-hmm. your weapons in real time, and they activate and you see them on the screen. Like you actually see things disappear and reappear on your spaceship, like based on what you're, based on the mission that you're going into. You can say, okay, well, this one needs more speed and stealth. All right, I can swap out to, let's say if you're playing on the Switch, you can throw on Fox McCloud, slap on the R-Wing, the R-Wing base, but you can grab, ships and stuff guns or wings from other ships, because they've got a whole collectible line that you can pick and choose from. A lot of cool stuff on that title. So I know there's a couple people in the Discord server that are stoked about it, as am I.
I think it's dope.
Question.
But we're going to play the intro. We're going to play it. Well, what's up with the question?
Are you going Switch or Xbox?
I'm going Switch, man. Star Fox. That's it. Just with that Star Fox alone, I'm going with Switch. I'm going with Switch. I mean, yeah, it's gonna look good on PlayStation and Xbox, but sorry, man. Can't beat the Nintendo franchises, man. With that alone, I'm good. But we're gonna play the interview, and once we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about Assassin's Creed Odyssey. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Peter here with Gamertag Radio. First game I got to check out today was one that we checked out at E3. And first off, introduce yourself, your role in the game, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. My name is Matt Rose. I'm a producer at Ubisoft Toronto on Starlink Battle for Atlas.
Okay. So we went through the demo. You had a short intro of everything. And on the presentation, like one of your slides showed like a circuit board. It looked like some weird hybrid cybernetic thing. And, you know, just wanted to go through the process, the history of, because when you think of Starlink, when, you know, for those that are not, you know, familiar with the title, you know, you have an opportunity to actually build on top of your controller and do all those things. So where did the concept of that come from?
Sure. So a few years ago, it actually all started, interestingly enough, with the ending of another story. I joined Ubisoft Toronto to work on Splinter Cell Blacklist. And that was the first big game that everyone had worked on together at the studio. It was the first game the studio had made. And after Blacklist, you know, people start splitting up and going to other projects. You know, since then, Ubisoft Toronto has worked on, you know, Assassin's Creed and Far Cry and all sorts of other games. Mm-hmm. But I was given the opportunity to take a very small group, just 8 people at the time, and come up with something new. We were given this kind of wide open mandate. I still don't know exactly how I lucked out to get that opportunity. But, you know, it's both incredibly liberating to have this kind of wide open opportunity, but also incredibly terrifying. You know, we had no idea what we were making. You know, there's nothing to build off. So the approach that we took is that we effectively ran a perpetual game jam for like a few months. And we made all sorts of just crazy off-the-wall experiments across different technologies, different platforms, different genres. And one of those prototypes that I showed the picture of was kind of this Wiimote taped to like a consumer electronics board with, you know, copper wiring and building toys and things. And the idea of the prototype was this modular starship that every part that you add, you know, would instantly appear and would change your gameplay. And ultimately, that was the inception of Starlink.
Also, during the presentation, you spoke about kids. I've got 2 kids. You know, I think you mentioned you had a young boy and a girl. And that's one thing that you brought up something, you know, kids today are probably smarter than us as parents. They get along. They're better at video games than we are for some reason. Although internally I battle with myself, I don't want to admit that to my kids, but they are better than I am. You said that you guys hit this niche with games that cater better to kids. Can you talk more about
absolutely.
That?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we learned when we started developing the game was we really started looking at, you know, who are the kids of today and you know, even taking inspiration from our own kids. And, you know, what we realized was that kids are far more capable at grasping, you know, deep systems and deep mechanics than people tend to give them credit for. And there's kind of this huge gap between, you know, the traditional kids games that really do an amazing job at, you know, teaching you those first few steps into video games. But then, you know, these days with kids growing up, you know, surrounded by technology with a generation of gamer parents that are welcoming them and playing together to bring them into the world of video games. They learn so quickly that many of these kids are mastering the current kind of kids' games on the market by the time they're, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. And they're looking for the next big challenge. And there's really not a lot on the market that's appropriate for them that was designed with them in mind. And far too often they're, you know, moving on to games that were never meant for them in the first place. And so we kind of had this suspicion and the more that we tested with kids, the more we doubled down on that. And you know, even initially, we were being too shy on, you know, okay, we've got to make it easier. We've got to do this. We can't have, you know, can't be that hard. And we found it. In fact, it was just the opposite. You know, kids wanted more depth. They wanted more challenge. You know, they really wanted to lose themselves in this universe and go in and take on these epically difficult challenges and you know, make their own path. And so, you know, I think back to the games of my childhood that weren't shy on challenge and that weren't shy on getting you in. And I look back at them now and I'm like, how the hell did I finish that game back then? But we're really kind of trying to bring that back in a way. And the response from kids you know, and parents has been really, really wonderful.
That's one of the things that I really appreciate about a game like this is that it's not catering to a specific genre or catering to a specific age group. It's open-ended in that respect where I can play it as a 44-year-old, but then my 19-year-old, I can envision going into, because he likes those exploratory type games. And then my 15-year-old daughter will like it because it's got the shooter element and stuff like that. And those are things that bring all of those type of ages.
Totally. And my 7-year-old daughter will get into it as well, you know? And you know, that was the thing that we realized is that, you know, when we're making an experience that doesn't speak down to kids, that ends up creating an experience that is open and invites in players of a wide range of ages, a very wide audience. And we try to welcome that. You know, we try to do everything we can to let each player play and interact with the game in the way that works best for them. So, you know, we have this really cool modular Starship collectible, and it's really magical. And, you know, you see kids like eyes light up, and I say kids, but I also mean like the kid in all of us. And, you know, there's a lot of adults that are big collectors and that get into that. But, you know, some people, maybe the toy isn't for them, and you know, maybe they don't see themselves interacting with that. But that's totally cool. You know, you can play the whole game digitally. The toys are actually, you know, an entirely optional part of that experience. And so for us, it's really finding those paths to welcome as many players as we can into the world of Starlink.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was actually going to be one of my next questions. It's not necessary to have the build out, you know, toy component of it. You can play it completely digital. How important was that to not be such a requisite component of the game where you have to build out the little pieces on a controller?
Yeah, for us, you know, we really want to celebrate that innovation and you know, let people experience that and have that magic, that kind of instant swapping. And it's really cool. It's really tactile to play with. But, you know, we want to be as player friendly as we can. You know, we never want to have these walls and try to, you know, trap you into buying a thing. You know, that's not our intention at all. So, you know, you can complete the entire game with just the starter pack. You know, adding more parts to your collection is really giving you more creative options to customize your loadout, to customize your playstyle, to express yourself in how you want to play in the game. You know, it's almost a very simplistic deck building game. You know, you're choosing which pilot, which wings, which weapons, which ship, balancing those trade-offs. And, you know, that fully applies to digital versus physical as well. Of, you know, like I said, we want people to be able to play the game the way they want to play it. To go in and to collect and to explore, you know, the way that works best for them.
So, in other words, I don't have to physically go out and buy the toy component of it. I can select them from the digital marketplace and say, okay, I want to have the ultralight, you know, speeder type, and then I can
totally.
Then I can just select those in and out. How do you defend? Or how do you protect yourselves from a DRM component then? How does one, because I'm just wondering as a consumer and as, you know, I work in finance on the side, or actually as my full-time gig. And so the question being, if I have, let's say I buy the game with the toy, with the little component parts of it, and my son buys it digitally, can he take those pieces and put them on his controller without ever having bought
the DRM? Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, when you connect a toy, it will unlock a digital version of itself for 7 days. So every toy that you connect will unlock that digital version. So, you know, let's say I get the game on Nintendo Switch because I'm a big Star Fox fan. And and I connect that and play. Of course, everything in the starter pack I'll always have unlocked, right? It's right. part of the core set. But if I add another ship and connect that, maybe I'm playing on my TV. I like playing with the toys, but then I want to take my Switch on the go. You know, no problem. I have access to my full digital collection of all of my parts. And, you know, we even encourage and you know, love the community aspect that, like, a kid can lend a toy to a friend to essentially give their friend a trial of that part. Right. You can kind of have that community sharing going. And after 7 days, that part will expire, you know, until you just connect the toy again. So as long as you can prove that you own that toy, you can keep going. If you buy the parts digitally, of course, then, you know, we just use the first party systems and you always have that part digitally in your collection.
Okay. That's actually a really fantastic way of approaching it, letting the kids, you know, interact and say, hey, look, check out this one. You know, I use this frost weapon and it worked fantastic. And I use this kinetic one. Check it out. Let me know if you like it. You know, you can ask your mom to buy it. That's actually really cool.
Exactly.
I like that. I like that. All right. Let's go into Star Fox. You brought it up. It's what everybody wants to know. Obviously, apparently it's your favorite. It's what you're on. I'm getting it on Switch because of Fox McCloud. I've got a long-standing relationship with that character, and it's amazing. How important was that to you to have Star Fox as part of it, and obviously the rest of the cast?
It was an amazing opportunity. So, you know, it we were in many ways inspired by the games of our childhood and the toys of our childhood in the creation of Starlink. And you know, Star Fox was a big part of that. You know, that was one of those iconic games, one of the earliest 3D games on console that we played and loved. And so it was always kind of this pipe dream of ours of like, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, we could work with a Nintendo on this. But it actually, the collaboration all came about at E3 2017. So we announced the game at E3 2017. And we had a behind closed door demo and people came by to check it out. And a small group from Nintendo America came by and asked if they could see the game. And we said, of course. And we showed them the game and you know, went, well, they were kind of poker faced, but you could see little smiles forming. And they got to the end of the demo and they said, oh, do you mind if we come by with a couple more people? And we said, yeah, that would be cool, of course. And they came by and now there was, you know, another group of people and, you know, for the first time, a group of translators to accompany them. And so they were, you know, introducing us to, you know, the director of Mario Odyssey and the director of Mario Kart and you know, the father of Metroid and all of these, like, legends from Nintendo. And they came and did the demo, and at the end, oh, do you mind if we bring by another group of people? And they kind of kept going, and they came by, you know, 4 or 5 times. And in the end, it was like Reggie Fils Aime coming by, and you know, all of these, amazing people from Nintendo. And so we kind of knew at that point something was up. And after E3, we started that conversation with them, and that kind of culminated in an invitation for us to travel out to Kyoto. To present a potential collaboration on the game. And so I had the honor of traveling to Kyoto to pitch this to Mr. Miyamoto,
wow.
Who also came with a few guests of his that we weren't expecting. He brought the entire Star Fox 1 development team,
wow.
From the Japanese side. So that was crazy. That was the most amazing moment of my career. And it went really well. And Mr. Miyamoto is a very, very sharp, and Laurent Melville, our creative director, kind of went through the gauntlet of super precise game design questions of like exactly how we were tuning this or this and make it feel great. But I guess he did well, because then we got the word back that they were very excited about that possibility. And, you know, for us, we think that gamers are going to be thrilled with, you know, how well integrated, Star Fox is in the mm-hmm. Switch version. You know, it's not just a guest character.
Right. He's not like ham-fisted in just to make the appearance.
No. Like he has his reasons for being in Atlas. It's you know, all full voice acting with the original Star Fox Zero cast. The you know, he's in the cinematics. He has exclusive missions. The R-Wing has, you know, really cool special features. Yep. So, pretty excited about that collaboration.
Yeah, that's... I nearly lost it in the press conference at E3. I was just like, oh my God. So I was really glad to be able to see that. Obviously to see Mr. Miyamoto come on stage, accept the actual R-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. Well, I want to wrap it up, say thank you once again. October 16th is
October 16th on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch.
Okay. And for people who want more information on the game, where can they go?
Starlinkgame.com is the website. Of course, there'll be lots more news over the weeks to come.
All right. Bonus question. What's your favorite, aside from Star Fox? Obviously, everybody knows, you know, Fox McCloud is the guy right now. But aside from them, which one is your favorite pilot and your favorite ship?
That's a great question. I think my favorite pilot is a pilot called Chase. Chase is a kind of a racer from Brazil. And she was one of the first characters that we really locked down the design of. And, you know, she's all about speed, but in many ways, she's also kind of the heart of the team. And she believes so much in all of her teammates and always kind of backing people up. So I really like Chase. And as far as Starship, It's a good question. I think I like Shadeship Nadir. It's an outlaw ship, so it has a really different look. It's kind of, you know, all chipped and pretty gnarly looking, and it has a skull on the back. And my favorite part of it is the sound. You know, it has this kind of deep, like, motorcycle rumble as you're right. flying that around. It's pretty wicked.
Mine is Judge.
Oh, yeah.
Simply because I love the time component, the time control component of it. And then the ship, I can't remember the name of it. It's the red one. It's a light one.
It's called Pulse.
Pulse. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Because what
that's
I did...
That's Chase's ship. Yeah, that's okay. That's a wicked ship. It's very fast.
And it was funny. I was doing the gameplay, and the guy's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I like the maneuverability of it, but I wanted to add more. So I actually put a double wing on it. So it was ultralight, but the added weight of it gave it the bulkiness of it. And he was just like, yo, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, totally.
He's like, I'm going to have to start doing that on my next gameplay. Yeah. So it was really cool.
Yeah, I love seeing how people, make builds and then share their favorite configuration, share their favorite things. Yeah, it's a big part of it.
That's one thing I didn't realize, I guess, from the E3 build was that you could stack the wings on top of each other to make more customizable your gameplay experience.
And it's actually really interesting. It's one of the differences between how kids play the game and how adults play the game. And then we see a lot of creative building on the kid side, where they'll use the building to solve problems. So, you know, we've seen things like there was a little girl in one of the playtests recently that there was these enemies that she was like kind of afraid of, and they were really scary, but she had to defeat them. And so she found like a big boulder in the game, and she went and hid behind it, and she put out horizontal wings and then stacked vertical wings on top of that to build like a really high build so that her weapons were like over top of the boulder, and she hid behind this rock firing down at the enemy, taking them out. It's like, I love that stuff. It's the best.
That's pretty ingenious. You got to give it to him. Well, yeah. Thank you once again, Matt, for,
thank you so
for
much.
Your time, and good luck on the game.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Pete. So let me ask you, you got to play Assassin's Creed at E3 or no?
I did not get to play it at E3, but I did get
Gamescom?
I did get to play it. I didn't play it at Gamescom either. Actually, wait, no, that's where I was at the pre-Gamescom event. Yes. I did get to play it there. I spent about an hour playing Assassin's Creed. I think I told this story already on the show once. But the part that we were in, we were going into this island, right? And it was surrounded by I think they were Amazon warriors. And I'm sitting there trying to go around the island, and I got spooked because there was this bear out of nowhere.
Yo, I had a bear experience too, man.
And so, like, it's chasing me. I jump off the side of the mountain, the cliff. I'm holding onto the side. It disappears. I come back out. Finally, I injure it enough that it starts running away. So I'm like, ha, I got the bear. So I go chasing after the bear, and another bear appears. And I'm like, what the hell? And the developers,
like, you heard my homie, man. What
the
you heard
developers
my homie
are behind me, and they're cracking up. And I'm like, dude, what's with all the bears? So I finally kill that bear. I go back, I kill the second bear, and they're like, all right, so here's where you have to go through this level. You have to get down to that cave. I'm like, all right. I get down to the cave. I kill the guards blocking it. I go into the cave. Two bears.
Oh my God.
And I yelled out.
They were ready for Pete, man.
I yelled out, what's with all the bleeping bears? And the developers are cracking up because this entire time they see me over my shoulder. They're there watching me arguing about, you know, arguing and fighting the bears. And they're like, he's got more bears. He just don't know it.
That's dope. By the way, man, when I went to the event, you know, I got invited. You know, thanks to Ubisoft for inviting me to the event, and I'm gonna be straight up. Like, I really didn't really care much about Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Like, you know, I know we got to see it at E3. I just looked from far away. You know, Paris was playing. I was like, whatever. It's another Assassin's Creed game. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to the event, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have an open mind. I'm just gonna like play it. Maybe I'll like it because I love Assassin's Creed. Like, I played previous Assassin's Creed games. And I love Origins. Like, that game was straight up fire. I need to finish that game, though, by the way. So I started playing it, and they had a presentation like, okay, you could choose a male character or female character, you choose. So the presentation that they were showing, like, you know, in the game, depends on your choices that you make when you have a conversation with someone, things will happen in the game that, like, the, let's say you probably could flirt with someone, you could get, you know, start flirting more and more, you probably get, have a relationship with that character. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the relationship from different people will change based on your choices. Like, you could even lie a lot if you want, and so on. So the character that was showing on the screen was a female character. Her name is Cassandra. And I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to play that character. She looks, I like that, her attitude, like her talking to people when she's pissed and all that, you know? It's the same thing, Pete, like when we saw Cyberpunk 2077, they show the female character. We all decide, like, you know what? I think we're going to go with that once the game releases, right? So that's how I felt. And I started playing it. I was there playing it from like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the only time that I stopped was for lunch because I was starving, but I couldn't stop playing the game, man. Like, I think the story was really interesting, the environment. At the beginning of the game, I was playing it and I was like, man, this is, you know, this is dope, man. It took a long time. And then I see the credits. I'm like, yo, that was the intro. I even mentioned that during the interview with the developers, and I really enjoy the game, man. I think that this is one of these games that, yeah, it is. Some people will say, "Oh, it came out too soon," but I think when you give it a chance and try it out and play it, and you start learning more about the characters and the story, the twist is in the game, multiple twists. I think, you know, It's a lot of fun, man. I think it's a lot of fun, man. You know, I know you said you played for like an hour or so. Did you were just doing like side quests, or you got into the story?
No, we actually did. The mission that we did was we went against Medusa.
Okay.
And it's a very, very difficult level where, you know, we're significantly leveled up and stuff like that at that point in the game. I don't know if it's franchise fatigue coming back, but I am still of the posture that too soon.
But here's the thing. The game was developed for 3 years. If the game would have come out next year, let's just say not this year, they worked on it for 3+ years, and the version I played, straight up polish, no bugs that I've seen. Everything was good. It's a lot of fun. So what's the difference? Just because it just got released back to back, you know what I'm saying? Like,
if it's exactly the reason. Like, that's exactly why.
But the thing is, if the game was developed, let's say 2 years, and they got released right away, then I'll be like, way too soon. But the first thing I asked them, how long you guys been working on this game? Over 3 years. So I was like, okay, all right. So they learned from the last game. They added some elements from Origin, some from Black Flag in there. Because there's also, you could also choose boats and have boats battles and all that stuff. So same thing like Black Flag, Pete. I think it's fun. Now, is a game of the year type thing? Like, oh man, groundbreaking? No, but I think that if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed, I think you're gonna enjoy the game. You're gonna like it. I had a great time, you know. So, and I know it's different than previous Assassin's Creed, right, Pete? Because of the time that the era where they're at right now in the game is different. Battle wise, how do you feel about like the way how you fight the enemies and all that?
I don't think there's a lot of difference between whether you're playing in Origins or you're playing in Odyssey. My core complaint is, and I understand that it was developed for 3 years, almost basically in parallel with Origins. Yeah. But I still think that they could have waited. I still, even if it's 1 year, allows them to do more polish. And I think I've said this on other shows. They could have added more content within ancient Egypt to span out throughout the time. Honestly, you give me every 2 years and I'm okay with it. There's no reason for them to have dropped a year back to back and now going back to having another gap year between titles.
This is my theory. This is not like 100%. This is my theory, what I think. This year is all about, like, holiday season wise, is all about Assassin's Creed, right? Early next year, The Division 2. And I think there is going to be a major game that's going to be their focus for the holidays for Ubisoft next year. And I think by them having that gap from Assassin's Creed, you take that break, let that game that's coming out for the holiday to shine even more. And in the early in the year, have The Division to shine all the way. You know, so that's my theory. I think that if Ubisoft is planning to release the next Assassin's Creed, save it for next gen now. Why not? Save it for like the next Xbox, the next PlayStation, or you could do it this way. If they do plan to release a new Assassin's Creed in the future, release it for all consoles, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the new next gen consoles all at the same time. That's what I think is going to happen. But look, if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed, try it out. I had a blast. It was fun. I can't wait for the retail version. I'm definitely going to play it, man. You know, so anything else you want to bring up, Pete, about that?
No, I'm still the belief, and I remember Bethany Paris was saying the same thing. I still think it's too early. They could have staggered it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And this is coming from this. And this is coming from an Assassin's Creed fan. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. It's coming fine. From an everybody's Assassin's gonna Creed have fan. Opinion. I think there's a person for me. I think there's reasons why they did that back to back. That's just me. I might be wrong. I'm not saying that I'm 100% right, but I might be wrong. Who knows? Or I might be right. All right, so we're gonna wrap it up here at Gamertag Radio. Thank you for listening to episode 794. And remember, owning the podcast for 19 weeks, every week we're going to give away a free game. It could be on a Monday episode or on a Thursday episode. This episode, only on the podcast, we're going to give away a brand new Destiny 2 game for the Xbox One. And this is a perfect time for you to download it and also try out Forsaken if you want, buy the expansion. And every week we're going to have a brand new game for free. We're going to give away to one of our listeners. Who knows what we have for next week? Might be an Assassin's Creed game. Who knows? You never know. all right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Pete, do you want to say anything else before we wrap it up?
See you on the Blackout Battlefield this weekend, the return of Gamertag Radio Community Nights. So our Community Game Nights is coming back. If you are part of the Discord server, make sure you are there. We will have channels for PC. If you are not and you want to play on Xbox or PlayStation, we will have parties open. I'm pretty sure Danny's going to want to play on Xbox.
or Nintendo Switch. We could do some Mario Kart and go to Discord and talk.
But we're playing the beta. But we're talking about doing the beta.
I'm saying in the future. You said game nights.
Yes, you but only we're coming back. But I'm talking about this weekend, this Friday.
Okay.
Play on Xbox One or PlayStation or PC. Okay. I'll be there. I know Mandy and Arctic, our mods, are going to be there. I think David Two Sly said he was going to be on there. I'm hoping you're going to be on there. I'm
probably going to play the Xbox. Yeah, I'm going to play Xbox for those that, you know, don't have a PC, don't have a PlayStation 4.
The right.
I'll play that.
But yeah, we will be doing that, and hopefully we do more. Hopefully it's not just a one and done. Hopefully we can do more, you know, community game nights. It's something that we always enjoyed doing whether hell, I remember one of my first ones with you guys was doing Halo and doing the custom Forge maps. Those were stupid fun.
That was fun.
Those are mad fun.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah,
so we'll do some of those. I remember us doing Ghost Recon, you know, Advanced Warfighter. I remember having to go out and go to a GameStop and buy the disc for $1 just to come back and join in on the fun. But yeah, we'll be doing it. Mm.
By the way, Pete, do you want to mention about the TwitchCon thing that we were talking about earlier? Or you don't want to
talk about it? No, I'll mention it. Press Badge was accepted for TwitchCon. So it's not on there now.
Pete Rock.
So yeah, it's you're going to see me. You're going to see me begging and pleading. But, you know, I'm going to be putting up a Twitch goal on my live streams as well as on the Twitch as well as on the live streams for the show moving forward. And hopefully with your guys' support, your guys and girls' support, be able to help fund some of or help offset some of the costs of going out to TwitchCon. You know, it's
if you guys want to help out Pete, because this is going to be his first time going to TwitchCon, and also going to be in a part of a panel. I'm working on that, so Pete could be part of this panel and talk about Latinos in gaming. I think it's going to be dope. But I think it would be cool if you, the listener, help us out. You know, we always go to E3. We always go to these events and stuff. But I think you should definitely help us out for TwitchCon. And it's a way for us to also learn about streaming and make the Twitch channel even bigger. You know what I'm saying? So for those that are listening to the podcast and you can't watch Pete live or anything like that, right, Pete? You could do this. You could donate super easy. You could go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. If you want to help out Pete, you could also send a note there. Like, hey, Pete, have fun at, is in Cali? In California?
It's in San Jose, California.
San Jose, California. There you go. Or if you can't watch it live, but you also have Amazon Prime, you can donate. You could go to our channel, twitch.tv/gamertagradio. You go over there and just hit subscribe with your free Amazon Prime subscription. And also will help us out in that way. Or go to store.gamertagradio.com and buy t-shirts and you can help us out. There's different ways to help out GTR, man. But I think it would be cool to send Pete to TwitchCon, man. That would be awesome, in my opinion, man. And who knows? He might record something from over there. Who knows?
No, I have no idea what's going to be in store. So I'm hoping to interact and interface with not just, you know, fellow content creators and streamers, but, you know, hopefully come back with information and knowledge to help this channel get bigger and better, right?
Yeah. Yeah. How many days is TwitchCon?
3 days, 26th, 27th, and 28th, I believe.
Dope. That's awesome, man. That's dope.
That's dope.
Yeah. If there was enough budget, I think that would have been cool for all of us to go, but I think I'm fine with just Pete. Pete going. I think it'll be fine. Yeah. But yeah, please help us out. And Pete will give you more details about when he's gonna post the goal.
It's a goal. Right. It's a donation mm-hmm. goal. It'll be up every time you see me on the stream, whether it's the live streams like this or Let's Play. So you'll probably see it this Friday coming up on the PC beta for Blackout. You'll see the Twitch goal. You can click on it. You can click or you can go to donate.gamertagradio.com. If you're watching the Twitch stream, go down to the donate panel. It's a picture of me, Paris, and Danny. Just click on that. It'll mm-hmm. take you straight over to the Streamlabs page. You can make a donation, do tips, bits, anything you guys can do to help.
Definitely. All right. And we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, we're out. Stay tuned. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.